As achievers, we stand tonight before the one that raises the poor from the dust and the beggar from the dunghill. We stand in awe of you, the only wise God. And we ask that you will do with us what the God of your stature can do with mere mortals. That you will turn things around in our favor. Amen. And you will put in our mouths laughters that will never end. Amen. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have worshipped. Let your amen resound. Now raise your two beautiful hands above your head and give the Lord Jesus a big hand. A big hand. Hallelujah. Before you sit down tonight, I'm honored to be representing the head of the church, Jesus Christ, the one that has no equal. The monarch of the universe. And we have brought many crowns today to crown him the King, the Lord, the Master, the Alpha, the in-between, and the Omega. Please help me celebrate King Jesus. Celebrate King Jesus. Celebrate King Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, before you sit down tonight, I want you to help me follow this scripture as I honor my husband. Please put it on the screen for me. Songs of Solomon, chapter 5. And I want to read from verse number 10. Media, are you jealous? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. In the Message translation, I want to read the last few lines. He stands tall like a cedar, strong and deep rooted, a rugged mountain of a man, aromatic with wood and stone. His words are kisses. His kisses are words. Everything about him delights me, thrills me through and through. This is my lover. This is my man. Dear Jerusalem sisters, those of you that are single, may Jehovah give you men like my husband. May you not mismarry. May your marriage give you comfort. Your marriage be your launching pad. May the Lord, through your marriage, amplify your voice. Your children will not mismarry. They will not make mistakes. Where we failed, you will not fail. Where we missed it, you will not miss it. You will have laughter that is lasting. in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord Jesus a big hand. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, the Lord has anointed me to bring a word. And I'm going to be telling you the title of the message after I finish reading this scripture. Genesis chapter 38, verse 27. And it came to pass, Genesis 38, in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb. Verse 28. And it came to pass when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. Verse 29. And it came to pass, as the third it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, the brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called Pharez. Verse 30. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zarah. Matthew chapter 1. I read from verse number 1. Matthew 1 from verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Pharez and Zarah of Thamar, and Pharez begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Ara. The title of the message God laid on my heart tonight is Congratulations. What is the title of the message? I'd like you to walk up to three people. You don't need to even shake their hands. If you don't want to, just tell them congratulations. 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 The title of the message is Congratulations. Congratulations. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. In the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, only four women were mentioned. Because we live in a patriarchal society, both in Bible days and even now. Only the names of four women were mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. And this begat that, and that begat that, and that begat that. Number one, we see this woman called Tamar, as I'm going to be sharing her story with you tonight. And then we have Rahab, the harlot. Then we have Ruth. And then you have Bathsheba. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. It is amazing that God specializes in using people that nobody may likely give a chance. It's looking to me like God goes to the most unlikely places to prove his point. So my story tonight bothers on this woman called Tamar that I just read out to you in Genesis chapter 38. Her name means the palm tree. Her parents had a foresight. Her parents put on the spectacle of prophecy. Her parents put on the spectacle of destiny and named her prophetically. Your name shall be a palm tree, Tamar, because every aspect of the palm tree is useful. Your marriage, your ministry, your business, everything that has to do with you. We are giving you this name so that every time people call this name, they will call you prophetically. Palm tree. And you should bear this name till you die. When you look at the palm tree, the trunk is useful. The leaves are useful. You get palm wine from it. You get oil from it. You get all sorts of things from it. The roots, medicinal. That was what the parents had in mind. But at a point in her life, she became deformed by marriage. She was fantastic in every area of her life, except in her marriage. Her marriage deformed her. Beautiful lady, married to a wicked husband. Not once, but twice. The Bible says that her husband was so wicked. God did not allow that woman to judge him. God, as busy as God is, had to come downstairs to kill him. Can you imagine that level of wickedness? Like you have in 2 Kings chapter 25, beginning from 25, you see a man that is called Evil Merodach. That your evil is good enough, quote and unquote, but for your name to be evil, God did not wait. God had to come to kill that husband. And then she got married to the younger brother. And the Bible says, according to Jewish culture, that man was supposed to raise seeds. The Bible says that when that man was sleeping with her, the man said in his mind, I'm not going to be involved in this. I'm going to waste this. And the Bible says that God didn't kill him. God slew him. Then the father-in-law, Judah, said, this cannot continue. You have to leave this family. And the man said something profound. Please go back to your father's house and remain there. Who will send for you so that the third son will not die. You won't blame that kind of a man. So she took off. And I wanted to imagine the day she arrived back in her village. Maybe her chief bridesmaid was there. Maybe the little bride was there. People that sang. Oh, she was going to her husband's house. They saw how she was returning in shame. I believe that one of the reasons why God gave her father and the Lord his theme for this year's conference is so that your tears can be wiped. You have wept enough. It's celebration time. Anyways, she got there. And then one day she heard that her father-in-law was visiting. So she quickly removed her widowhood attire, made up her face, anointed herself, and sat in the public place. Then the father-in-law did not know that that was his daughter-in-law. That sounds strange to me. A woman that was married to your son for not less than a year, I think, married to your second son, and then you will still not be able to recognize her. May God confound your enemies. Amen. Every time I pray for you, make sure your amen is very loud. Angels are here. And then the Bible says that the man slept with her. But before the man would sleep with her, she said, what will you give me? Because this time around, I'm not ready to waste my time. What will you give me? And the man said, I'll give you not a goat, but a kid goat. Kid goat. And the lady said, I am worth more than a goat. I'm worth more than a lion. I'm even worth more than a zoo. The entire zoo. I don't want that. I don't want laughter that will be shortened. I don't want laughter that will not put me in the Bible forever, permanently. I don't want a laughter that will be short-lived. No, I don't want a kid goat because you're going to finish eating a goat. I don't even want a zoo. All the animals are killable. I want a lasting laughter. And you have by force, because you want what I have, you have to give me three things. I'm taking you on a journey tonight. It's a very short journey. And the woman said, you're going to give me three things. Number one, you're going to give me your ring. You're going to give me your bracelets. And you're going to give me your staff. I want to pray with you very quickly. As we dissect those three things. Because the Bible says she got pregnant, truly. The man handed it over. She got pregnant. And she gave birth to a set of twins. And I just read out to you from Matthew chapter 1. But let's come back to those three things that that woman asked for. Number one, the ring. The Bible calls it the signet. Remember in the book of Daniel and in the book of Esther, that was what the kings used to seal something. So when you talk about the ring, we're talking about your identity. I wear the bishop's ring. Because I'm a bishop. There are things that identify you. When we talk about the ring, we're talking about your destiny. We're talking about your identity. We're talking about something that seals things in your life. And for some of you, as the Holy Spirit ministered to me, your ring, your signet has been stolen. Stolen by sin. Stolen by demonic forces, stolen by generational evils, stolen by whatever. What does that mean? Your mates have left you behind. You owe so much. You have sickness. Your ring, some of you, has been exchanged. You used to wear correct rings. You used to be fine. You used to be sound. You used to laugh. But something happened. Those spiritual checkpoints, those demonic checkpoints, the ring, whether it's stolen, whether it's missing, whether it's exchanged, tonight, by reason of Jesus' death and resurrection, I decree restoration. And then the Bible talks about the bracelet. And I want to use the bracelet tonight to talk about people, relationships in your life. A bracelet, I'm wearing one, and it is gold. What I'm putting on is solid gold. And I know how much I bought it. I didn't buy it in Naira. So I know when you talk about bracelet, correct bracelet, I know what that woman was eyeing that day. Your bracelet talks about what beautifies you. Relationships. It can be a marriage. It can be a ministry. Profitable relationships. Relationships that you look at and then you are happy. Relationships you look at and then you laugh. You laugh so loud that the enemy is confused. And some of you, such relationships are lost or missing. Tonight, I decree restoration. Are you following me tonight? And then the Bible talks about a staff. The Bible talks about a staff. I couldn't even get a staff tonight. I forgot Bishop's staff when I was coming to church. But let me use this to represent it. And this is what I caught in my spirit. If you are a boss, thank you, sir. If you are a boss, you have a business, or you are an employer of labor, be on your feet. Tonight, I pray for you and your businesses and whatever makes you a boss. You have staff members. In the name of Jesus, they will not implicate you. I don't know why the Holy Spirit laid this on my heart. This staff members of yours, whether they are ministry members, whether they are business members, whatever they are, staff. The Bible was speaking about his staff. Your staff members will not be the avenue for the devil to finish you. Your staff members will not finish your business. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. You will not employ your enemies. I push your businesses forward in the name of Jesus. I want your amen to resound again. And if there is any staff member that the enemy has planted, let me tell you this. My husband knows what I'm talking about. There is a man in America who had a business. He's a pharmacist. In fact, his wife came to see me in the office here some years ago. You will not believe this, that his secretary was planted. I don't want to tell you who planted her. Was planted in that business for 12 years. As I speak to you now, the man is in jail. When the police, when the immigration came, they went straight to where his secret was. They just went straight to a part of the wall, cut it open, and brought out the money he was hiding. 12 years. My mother-in-law died at the age of 115. She used to pray for my husband and I. You will not use your own cloth to cover wicked people. And I stand in that grace tonight to pray for you. Your staff members will not implicate you. Your staff members will not steal your joy. Your staff members will not steal your laughter. I want your amen to be very loud. Take your seats, those of you in business. That woman went for the ring, she went for the bracelet, and then she went for the staff. What is a staff? It is something you lean on. Your staff is what you lean on. Your staff helps you to gain stability. If you are using a staff, it helps your work. It's about establishment. Your staff helps you. Your staff is your third leg. It helps you to avoid pitfall. Tonight, I pray for each and every one of you. Whatever you are leaning on, whatever God has positioned in your life to assist you, will not suddenly die. I have people in my life that God has blessed me with, and I call them. Sometimes when I send them text messages, I say, thank you for being my reward. There are some of them that are my reward. People I can call at 2 a.m. and say, look, send me 5 million. I need to pay for another IVF. And they will send it. Your staff. Life is audaciously wicked. You cannot succeed alone. You need a staff. Staff. Human staff. Idea staff. System staff. That's what you lean on. That is establishment. Nobody laughs just for laughing, though. There are things that make people laugh. If you are laughing just anyhow, they think you are a madman. There's a way you laugh. They know something good has happened to you. I am a spiritual microphone in the hand of the Lord tonight, and I prophesy to you, whatever God has raised for you to lean on will not suddenly break. Sometimes in the Bible, want to bless, they lean on their staff. Genesis 49, Genesis 39, they lean on their staff. Whatever gives you stability, establishment, will not suddenly give way. Will not be destroyed. For some of us, it may be your husband. There are times when I can't even pray. All I need is for my husband to listen to me. That's a staff. Some of you, it may be your children. They are so wise. Even when you are not speaking, they understand. Your staff will not suddenly break. Amen. Can you let God hear your ear? Because I don't have time tonight. Whatever means a staff. You see some people, they will write Iyaniwura, Okpelo
not for my mother, they will write it on their trucks. If not for Egma, if not for... One woman told me, the man that put her in immigration, put the brother in EFCC, put this one in that, the man suddenly died. He died recently. Whatever is the staff that God has ordained for you to lean on, you will not offend them. I want that amen to be very loud. Shout, my staff shall not suddenly break. Sit down. I feel like preaching tonight. Sit down. And I'm just introducing. Sit down. She said, give me the ring. Your identity, your destiny. Give it to me. I have what you need. Give it to me. I am more than a zoo, not to talk of a kid goat. Give me the ring. What kings used to steal. Give it to me. And she got it. Oh, careful. She got it. She said, give me your bracelet. Excuse me, I want to ask you another question. You are a doctor. How can that man not recognize the voice of that woman? When God wants to bless you, he makes seeing eyes blind. Gideon, anytime God wants to bless you, he makes seeing eyes. You know he makes blind eyes see. But he makes seeing eyes. And my husband says, don't compete with a man of grace. So that you not be disgraced. I want to preach. Let me go to where I really want to go tonight. She got the three. And she went to her house. And Uncle Judah went back to his house. And then she got pregnant. And had a set of twins. When my husband told me that I would be preaching, I went to the Lord in prayers. And the Lord said he wants to do five things. And I'm going to be telling you those five things. Even if you don't like me, you better believe them. I keep telling you, if you don't like a female preacher, see me as Mr. Dejumo for the next few minutes. So. Because by God's grace, I am a divider of inheritances and a distributor of portions. As Reverend D was welcoming me and I left my seat, the Lord said to me, you are walking in your grace. You are walking, as you go up now, you are walking in your calling. I am in my calling now. I am not Bishop Adejumo's wife as I'm speaking to you now. I'm standing in the grace that God has put upon my life. Those five things. Number one, God said I should tell you, I will help you. My husband says the cry for help is not the cry of the weak. It's the cry of the wise. Isaiah 44:14. God says you are a worm. You don't have power. People look at you and all they see, your weaknesses. That's all they see. Oh. Isaiah 41:14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Cookie, God said you don't have power. Worm, you know a worm has no bone. Today, no bone. Worm Jacob. I will help thee. Sometimes when my husband calls me and says, my queen, check your alert. As I'm checking the alert, I'm not looking for 10,000. I'm not looking for 100. I'm not looking for 200. No. That's not what I'm looking for. The one that said he will help you is the one that the sea saw and fled. He's the one that does not sustain the sky with any pillar. God said, I should tell you,
that he will help you.
Amen.
My dear, if God helps you, if that's the only thing God does for you, if God helps you, it's okay. I am one village girl that used to hawk, even as a head girl, to pay school fees. There was a time my parents and seven children lived in one room that had no window. I'm telling you my story. In this city of Akure, I've sold all sorts of things. My husband would go to his office and come and meet me in the shop, helping me to sell kerosene. My husband would carry me. We would go to how many kilometers from here to go and buy Gary. Because my husband said, we will not touch the church offering. So we were selling things. Egg. Gary. Many times in the morning, Bishop Adejima and I, we would just lie on the floor before God. We should not deceive you. If we pray for 2 hours, 1 hour, 45 minutes is Thanksgiving. Our praise points, plenty. Plenty. From that grace tonight, I pray for you. The God that helped Felix and Funke Adejumo will help you.
Amen.
God said he will help you.
Amen.
Whatever that means, receive it.
Amen.
Hug yourself with that blessing. Sit down, I'm almost done. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? You need help. From the cradle to the grave, you need help. There's nobody that does not need help. You need help. You need help. I refuse to be tempted to even speak on that. You need help. My husband says, one of the greatest tragedies of life is to be surrounded by the people that are unnecessary and irrelevant to your destiny. Parasites. They suck you dry. May Jehovah help you.
Amen.
Number two, the Lord said, I will favor you.
Amen.
You want to laugh? Lasting laughter. That's what God told me. That's my assignment tonight, and I'm almost done. 5 things. Number one, I will help you. Isaiah 41, 14. Psalm 121, beginning from verse 1. Number two, I will favor you. I want you to say amen. Reverend Barnabas, my husband says, please stand up. To be favored means to be served first. Faith, even if it will not go round. That definition. Barnabas, come. The scripture God gave me for I will favor you is amazing. And I didn't know you would be in church until yesterday when I was preaching. But it was you I saw that I was preaching with. On this, I will favor you. In Genesis chapter 27, we see the story of Isaac and Jacob. Sit down, Reverend. Sit down, sir. Remember, Rebecca was her strategic helper. Rebecca said, I will cook what your father loves, because I've been married to him. I know what he likes. You don't bother to cook. Ah, may God get you to that level. You miss what I just said. When somebody will be inconvenient just for your life to rise, may God get you to that realm. Is a realm. Then Jacob said, you said I should pretend to be Esau. If my father discovers, will he not curse me? The mother said, let your
She didn't say let the curse. She said let your curse. So you have a curse in the pipeline in case your father discovers. He said let your curse be on me. Let's not talk about that too, because it's a realm in life. It is a realm in life. But what God spoke to me about this, I will favor you, is what I want to share with you now. The Bible now says that when he brought the food, you found it so fine. He said, yes. Yes, sir. Your God helped me. The father said, come close. I'm sure he'll be panting by now. Come close. So, he came close. Reverend Barnabas, if you put on the skin of a goat, will it not be wet? Even if it is not wet, will it not smell?
It will smell.
Rather than smell that nonsense, Mayor, the father said, Genesis 27:27, see the smell. Did he say see? I thought he would say smell. Did he say see? So smell can be seen.
Oh.
Some people, when they appear like this, their smell is destroying their life. I say, see the smell of my son. That means he perceived the smell like the smell of the field that the Lord had blessed. I put you in that picture. I am not just a mother in the body of Christ. God has made me a matriarch. I sit down, according to Judges chapter 4 and verse number 4, under my palm tree, and I put you in that picture. From today, you will smell like the field that the Lord has blessed. Your presence will not annoy your helpers. Your mistakes will be covered. God will show you mercy. Whatever it means for God to show somebody mercy, I bring your name, I bring your picture before the throne of grace today. Receive it in the name of Jesus. How will a man see a woman that had been married to two of his children and not recognize her? How will Isaac not know that this was not Esau? This is Jacob. My dear, grammar is not what makes people successful. I just bought a book written by Femi Otedola. That's the book I'm reading now. That man put it there that he didn't go to the university. With all your 3 degrees, that man can employ you and your family. Maybe he does not even pray like you pray. Tonight the spirit of the Lord is upon me. You begin to smell like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. Sit down. Thank you, Reverend. Number 3. God said I should tell you that he will surprise you. What is number 1? What is number 2? What is number 3? Second Samuel chapter 6, beginning from verse 11, the Bible says that Obed-Edom was surprised. The man didn't plan for that blessing. He did not plan for that laughter. He didn't plan. Second Samuel, did I get it right? Yes. Chapter 6, verse 11. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed. When he woke up that morning, he didn't know that the ark would come. God said I should tell this house, whether you are online or you are on site, I, the Almighty God, will surprise you. As FFA, as a human being, I love surprises. My husband knows it. My birthday, I don't want to hear. When we were newly married, if somebody, maybe the children, wanted to surprise me, my husband would say, something is about to come. I say, darling, I love surprises. So they won't tell him. Did you get my joke? My husband will come and hint me, thinking that he loves me, so he wants to prepare me, maybe so that I will not faint. He said, they're bringing. I said, darling, don't tell me. I love surprises. God said he wants to surprise you. Today, Gideon Bolowa, God said he wants to surprise you. I don't know what that means, yo. God said he wants to surprise you. This is what you have been expecting. You have been expecting. God said, Abba, he said, I will exceed. Some of you, when you quote that scripture, Ephesians 3:20, you say, exceedingly abundantly. You are wrong. He didn't say exceedingly abundant. No. Exceeding. I will exceed. It's not exceedingly abundant. It's exceeding abundantly. God said he will surprise you. Oh God. I don't know how to communicate this in my spirit to you. Get ready for surprise. Get ready for surprise. Get ready for surprises. Positive surprises. Those of you waiting on the Lord for the blessing of the womb, God said, I should tell you, he's starting with twins. Agape, get ready. Anyone waiting on the Lord for the blessing of the womb, now is season of twins. Get ready. That means, Lord, get ready for surprises. That's number three. Number four, I'm closing. God said, I will defend you. I will help you. I will favor you. I will surprise you and I will defend you. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 11. Jeremiah 20:11. The Lord is with me like a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, read it, everybody. Let's read it. Let's start. But the Lord is with me. Let God hear your voice now. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. They are everlasting confusion. See, the devil made the mistake of allowing you to come here. God said, I will defend you. In Luke chapter number 13, beginning from verse number 10, you see one woman that was bent for 18 years. When Jesus healed her, why do you want me here? Like my husband would say, so they were happy that she was bent. My husband says, some people are not happy that you are happy. Rather than rejoice with her, they say, why should you be healed on the Sabbath? Luke 13, why should you be healed on the Sabbath? That woman did not answer them. She allowed Jesus to defend her. You are talking too much. You are responding too much on Facebook. From now on, Kenny, become unpredictable. Don't let them know what the answer will be. After this convention, John, are you hearing me? Are you all hearing me? From now on, be unpredictable. On Instagram, the person that abused you is expecting you. That person, don't honor every invitation to fight. You don't need it. Let them be wondering, will she respond? Will she not respond? Can't you see me? The more they attack me, I didn't know the same people sharing. They will share this one, oh, 10. Then they will look for one, no. Oh, I don't have time. I'm already in Rwanda. I'm in United Nations. My energy is not for that. God said that we defend. Naomi, God said that we defend you. What is your own now, Adiji? Who said he will defend you? I get back in you. I know they want. Henato, Dami, God said I will defend you, Benga. I'm pulling your ears, so God said he will defend you. Habakkuk, which word do you have to speak when the lawyer is like, I said, you don't have any word.
Yes,
just be still. And know, Kemisola, that God is God. That's the realm we are moving into now in Agape. If I'm Ishegbo, did you hear? That's what I just said. Did you hear? God said he will do what? Sit down, cross your leg. Two days ago, somebody abused my junior sister. Before my junior sister could even say something, 3, 4, 5 people came out. They slapped the man. I mean, she was the one begging. He said, no, mommy, nobody can be rude to you. Imagine if the person was rude to me. With somebody like this beside me. I get back you.
Yes,
I know they work. Go to bed. Bishop Adejumo, sir. God said they will defend you. Number 5. As I drop the mic, God said, I will gladden your heart. Luke chapter 1. We see the story of that woman called Elizabeth. She said, the Lord has taken away my reproach. Everybody has a reproach. There is no family that does not have a secret. They call it family secret. One of your siblings that is not doing well, that you are hiding. One of your children, that what is happening to him, you don't want anybody to know. Something in your marriage that, you are praying, God, just cover it all. Something in that business, there is nobody in the university of challenges and problems. All men are the same. Forget about the BB cars and the makeup. In the university of problem, everybody gets his own curriculum. My class may be at 7 a.m. Your own may be at 11, but you get class. In the university of problem. In the university of challenges. Because we speak with faith. We don't want to use the word problem. In the university of challenges. Everybody getting old. And it is in sizes. I get my size. When I enter this auditorium, I don't enter as a bishop or a bishop's wife. I enter as a helpless human being that has come to seek the all-powerful God. So you see me dance like any church member would dance. They are asking for prayer points. You see me, oh God, I'm here. Prayer points that microphone was not here. That's why I come here to sweep. When I enter this building, I am not a bishop. I am a helpless human being that has come to seek the most powerful God. The university of challenges. Everybody has his own. God said, I will gladden your heart. That woman was married to a pastor. They were serving God and they did not have children. And I'm sure she got married as a virgin. Because in Bible days, you must be married as a virgin. They were serving God and they did not have children. What are you talking about? Think 2 plus 2 is always 4. Let mathematicians come and dissect it for you. Everybody get his own. Until they carry microphone and they tell you. You will say, and they are still dancing like this. And they are still worshiping God like this. And they are still sweeping in church like this. As we got home yesterday, one of our longest prayer points. Come and see my husband and I. You will think we are babies. In gratitude to God. Darling, was it yesterday? Yes. In gratitude to God. Prayer points that we could not even give any of you. Our own personal prayer point. We got the news. We just got the, yes, I was showing it to the to Gideons. We just, when Reverend Gideon said we should dance, you see the way we were dancing. Because we are privileged to host this meeting, but we also came as helpless people to receive from God. So when he said we should dance, we were dancing. And we got the text. As soon as the dance ended, we got the approval. That was the text. I said, call Gideon for me. Gideon and his wife. Come and read. The University of Challenges. All men are equal. You have your portion. I have my portion. That's what God said I should tell you. And I have delivered the message. It will help you. It will favor you. He will defend you. Is that not what God said? And now he said he will gladden your heart, Abby. He will help you. He will favor you. He will do what? And then he will gladden your hearts. I think we should dance and give God not just offering but seeds tonight. I think we should do that. You think so? If you are here, you are not born again. We are not calling you out tonight. We are telling you and we are not judging you. Give your heart to Jesus. So if you die, Mary, give your heart to Jesus. Oh, God is sweet. I've served him for 48 years. Not just as a Baptist girl that was born 63 years ago, but as a born-again child of God. Jesus, nahelele. Give your heart to him. Everybody, I bless you tonight. May the spirit of that word be married to you. You will dance your own dance. You will shout your own shout. And you will laugh your own laughter. After that woman had the set of twins, the person that they chased out, what do you think people were telling her? Congratulations. That is the new thing you'll be hearing now. Congratulations.